Well, praise God. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Voice of the Believers Church, Sunday morning. Getting excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Praise God. God is good. We're going to do a tithing offering. A text is going to be out of 2 Corinthians, King James, old King James here. Verse 8 says, "And God is able." Let's all say, "And God is able." And God is able. It's a, and God is able to make all grace. That word grace means favor and blessings, you know, unmerited favor, his favor and blessings. So God is able to make all grace, which is favor and blessings, abound towards you, towards me, that we, or ye, the old English, always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God's made a way for us to abound in every good work. Where the devil has his agents and his things going on to make available for his work, God has made the supply for his people for every good work. So there's the bad works and there's good works, thank God. Then verse 10, it went on to say, now he, talking about God, that ministers seed. See, God's a minister. He ministers. God ministers seed to the sower. God ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown. God's multiplying your seed sown. I love that. God multiplies. He's a multiplier. And increases the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 12 went on to say, for the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. We give him thanks because what he's done. He's made us a source to be a blessing. Made us a source to be a blessing. And not only that, he ministered, verse 12 said, the administration of his service not only supplies the wants of the saints. He supplies our wants to the saints, praise God. My pastor, Terry Sparks, at Family Life Church, in the last year, he's been believing. He prayed and believed, been standing on giving thanks for a certain car. And he always told me to always be specific when you pray and believe for anything. Be specific when you pray and believe for it. And he was believing for a certain Lexus. Just this color and the I don't know how the Lexus do it, the SES 460, or I don't know how the Lexus do their stuff. But he believed in a certain one. And praise God. I was about a year and a half ago, it come to pass, praise God. And last time I met him, we went out to eat uptown here at our place. There he was, driving his Lexus. He was so happy. Now, you know, he could have got a Kia Soul or something like that, but he was believing for a Lexus, praise God. And God was good and blessed him, and he even got his wants, praise God. God gives you the desires of your heart. Your desires are those things that you're believing for, you're wanting, praise God. That's Psalms 37:4. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are our source of blessings, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that as we bring our tithes in, that prove you in it, you open the windows of heaven, pour out those blessings on us. There's not room enough to contain it all. You rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff. The enemy shall not destroy the fruits of our ground, and all shall call us happy and blessed. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you call us happy and blessed. Lord, we thank you, Lord, you bless the giver. Lord, we thank you, Lord, our stuff is lasting supernaturally long and blessed, because Lord, we're cheerful givers, and we love to give into your work. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, Danielle, can you take that up for me? All right, praise God. I am teaching tomorrow night at Monday Night Recovery. Monica's teaching this morning. I got Monday Night Recovery. I'll be ministering on being led by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So that's going to be fun, is ministering on being led by the Spirit. And from there, I'll go into Wednesday and Sunday. I think the Lord's laid on my heart on ministering on the Abrahamic covenant. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Pastor Monica. You can share the word with us. I'll get you ready here. You can tell what's going on, and I'll get this ready.
Amen. Wow, that's loud. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to pray. Well, Father God, you said to pray, to study, to show myself approved, and I did. But, Lord, just anoint me now. Anoint me to be able to preach and teach your message, Lord. These are your people, our people, Lord, and we want to learn from you. Because you said that when we understand, we would be healed in every way. And Lord, you said that you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles. So I'm expecting that. I'm expecting us to go here different from the way we came in, encouraged, set free, delivered, and changed and transformed according to your word. Satan, I bind you not. Bind you now from stealing from us, from stealing the word, operating in any way you get in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to talk about the healthy Christian family. This is number 4 in my series. And I'm sorry to say that because of technical difficulties of our new system, number 1 and number 3 is not available. I'm going to have to redo those. But number 2 is for how to stand for your unbelieving spouse. So if you know anyone that is standing for an unbelieving spouse, we have some in the foyer, and they're free. So today, this morning, we're going to talk about husbands loving their wives. Praise God. The role of the husband. Because the world, they don't know about the healthy Christian family. They don't even know what a family is. They don't even know what a man or woman is anymore. They're so confused. They're in the dark. And so, you know what? This is the opportunity for the church to rise up and shine. And we need to make it to teach the truth of the Word of God on behalf of our young people so they're not confused. Amen? This is the time for us to rise up higher and to shine. Amen. And so, this is the role of the husband in the home. Husbands, love your wives. And you know, when God first asked me to teach on the healthy Christian family, my first response was, I'm excited. But then, as I began to study, I felt overwhelmed. Because I'm like, how am I supposed to do this? I know I can teach on the dysfunctional family. And so, but God kept pressing, and so I started studying. And then I also looked to others who have had a healthy Christian family. Good morning. Not just to one generation, not just to the second, but up to the third. Praise God. And so I'm excited that we're going to learn. So there was a man, and he was riding on the airplane. And he noticed another man sitting next to him. And the reason he noticed him is it was unusual. Because he saw a wedding ring on his right index finger. So he said, sir, I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be nosy. But I think you have your wedding ring on your wrong, you're wearing it wrong. And the man said, nope, I married the wrong woman. So there may be some people that think I married the wrong person. The biggest mistake I ever made was marrying my wife. But you know what? God can fix anything. And see, if we're married, then that person is the right person. And so this is going to be for those that are married, those who are engaged, and those who one day plan on being married. Amen? So, this is about the responsibilities that a man has to his woman, or a husband has to his wife. And it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the flesh says. Doesn't matter what the devil says. What matters is what God says. And we all have our part to play in the family. And if I'm not doing my part, I've blown it. Right? So I'm not going to jump on anyone. There's not going to be any condemnation. We're going to be encouraged, and we're going to learn from God. What matters is what God says. We don't want to be politically correct. We need to be biblically correct. Right? We need to stick with the Word of God. And so, and let me warn you, though, some of these things that God says is not going to be what we hear at the job. It's not going to be what we hear at the movies. It's not going to be what we hear at the TV or at the music videos. We may not even hear any of this from our friends or even our family. But it doesn't matter. You know why? None of them made the family. It's a God-made, created institution, right? It's a God-created family. He created the marriage, so he knows how it's supposed to work. It's God's institution. He gets to set the rules. And before I go on, I want us to remember God has plans to bless us right? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. He has plans. And they're not to hurt us, they're to bless us, right? And then in John 10:10, he said the thief is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came, this is Jesus, that you may have life, to have and enjoy life. So God's way is the blessed way. Amen? And so God set the rules, and there's some responsibilities that a man has for his woman or a husband has to his wife. Now, so his first thing is a man is to love his wife. Now, a man will say, well, of course, that's a given. Move on. Move on. Right? And the wife might say, well, stay here a little bit. Let's stay here a little bit. But see, what often is what is called love is not, has very little to do with love. Right? The word love has become devalued today. People say, I love my job. I love my dog. I love your outfit. I love chocolate. But that's not really love. What that means is that I have pleasure from it and gives me enjoyment. So that's not love. It's what those things do for me. Amen? And so the word love has become trivial, almost unchristian. When the Bible talks about love, and the Bible, do we all believe it's the Word of God?
Yes.
It's the Word of God. So what the Word of God says is love, involves sacrifice, involves giving. And it's not, you know, it's sowing. When we sow love, it's going to take root, and then it's going to grow, and then it's going to produce love back towards us. Amen? So I want us to look at what love is for a moment, what God says is love. And it's on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4, and this is what God says is love. And it says this, love is patient. Are you patient? Are you being kind? Are you being jealous or boastful? Are you being rude? Are you demanding your own way? Are you irritable, easily irritable? Or in this one, it says you don't parade itself around. You're not puffed up, not being rude, not seeking your own all the time. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Are you bearing all things? This is for all of us. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, it won't fail. Love will never, this is what God says is love. Amen? This is what God says is love. So if you're talking about loving your wife by what she does for you, that's not love. That's her loving you. Right? So if you're talking about a man loving his wife, it's what a man is doing on her behalf. Y'all love me still? Hey, it's going to be our turn next, okay, the wives. So let's look at Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25, and it says this, husbands, love your wives. Now, it doesn't just say husbands, love your wives. It says loved your wife just as Christ also loved the church. But it still doesn't stop there. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So, men, to talk about loving your wife is talking about giving yourself up for her. You know, when we talk about love, we're talking about a cross. We're talking about sacrifice. Now, praise God, we don't have to do what Jesus did. You know, he took care of sin. Husbands aren't to do that. And we get to have the blessing, right? We have the right to a happy, healthy, blessed marriage, but that involves giving so that we can receive, right? So, to talk about love is to talk about a Savior. And see, we have a Savior in Christ, and wives ought to have a Savior in their husbands. And I'm not talking about, you know, our way to heaven. We're not Mormons. A Mormon wife can only get to heaven through her husband. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, when Jesus talked about being a leader, he didn't say we're not, he said we're not to lord it over like the world. What did he say? He got down and said, and washed their feet. He said a leader is to serve. And so that means the husbands are to serve first. Amen? So when you talk about, and we're talking about Christian husbands. Do we have any Christian husbands? Amen. That means we have a deliverer in the house. We have a leader in the house. Praise God. Amen. So that means we're blessed. So when you talk about loving your wife, you're talking about carrying your cross. And I know some men said, yeah, I'm carrying mine. Amen. But see, this cross is more than you can bear. Guess what? You're not on your own. You are not on your own. You have, see, it, marriage is three-way. There's the husband, there's the wife, and then there's Jesus. Jesus and the wife, Jesus and the husband, and Jesus on the marriage. Amen? And see, our children need to see this. The world needs to see this. And so, this command is never given to a woman to love their husband. A woman is to respect her husband, but a husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So, and it's not that a woman shouldn't love her husband. It's just that her love is a response to his love. He's to love her first. So if you're going to love your wife, then you're going to have to be the Savior in the home. Amen? You're going to have to, you know, Jesus, this is good. Jesus did not go to the cross because we were good. He didn't go to the cross because we were lovable and we deserved it, right? He went to the cross because he loved us so that we could be good, so that we could be lovable, so that we could be all that he's called us to be. We loved him because he first loved us. Amen? Amen? And so it's not like, well, I'm going to love her because she's right. No. You're going to love her until she becomes right. Amen? And God is working with you. So it's not like, well, I'll love her because she's treating me right. No, I'm going to love her until she learns to treat me right. That's how it's supposed to be. This is God's way of doing things. It's not like, well, as long as she's meeting my needs, I'll love her. No, I'm going to love her until she learns to meet my needs. Hey, us women are coming next. You still love me? And so, well, I'll love her because she's everything I need her to be. No, you love her until she becomes everything you need her to be. You're to be the leader. Amen. Most men, Christian men, they date in order to marry her. But really, in the God's way, is you marry her so that you can date her. Think about it this way. Salvation, it's a one-time event. Once you're saved, you're saved. But then you're being transformed. It's a process. Transformed into his image. Well, when you get married, you're married. Right? Whether you act it or not, you're married. But then becoming one is a process. Isn't that good? So it's just the beginning. Getting married is just the beginning. And many people think of it as, I'm married, that's it. And so most men, Christian men, they work hard in order to turn her on, to get her to marry him, to get her to the altar. But really, you marry her in order to spend the rest of your life to turn her on, is God's way. Think about it. That's God's way. So, sir, if you are wondering about being a lover, and most husbands like to think of themselves that way, you're the kind of lover you are is only measured by the sacrifice you make for your wife according to God. Amen? And husbands are to love his wife like Christ loved the church. And he loved the church until death. Some husbands say, man, I know what that feels like. I'm almost there. Well, you know what? When the first man was created, God split open his side in order to get a rib so he could have Eve. Christ had his side split open in order to birth the church. Well, thank goodness we don't have to pay that kind of price because Jesus paid the price for us. We're in the blessing and not the curse. Isn't that good news? But see, if we're going to get the blessed life, the blessed marriage, the blessed family, we need to follow his instructions. And we are to grow together. And so that means a man ought to make that commitment to stay committed to his wife, pay whatever price, whatever inconvenience, whatever pain is involved until she becomes all that she ought to be. And we need to teach our young men this. You know, look at Jacob. He worked 14 years in order to be married to Rachel. Now, that's a price of love right there. That's the price tag of love. And many men, they want to run away from their wives because they're unlovable. Well, if she was unlovable, she wouldn't need a Savior. Amen? And see, you are the example that we need of what a real Savior is. Only sinners need a Savior. Let's look at Romans 5:8. It's a little big. And it says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God commended his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he didn't wait until we deserved it to love us. Thank goodness. You know, Jesus said, you messed up. You go in the wrong direction, but I took care of that because I love you. See, when a man comes home to his wife, he ought to say, you know, I know things aren't exactly the way we want it to be. I may not like your personality. I may not like the way you're treating me, but there's a Savior in this house. You have a Savior in me. You have a Deliverer in me. And I'm not talking about salvation as far as sins. I'm talking about someone who's willing to be there for his wife. Someone who's willing to be the example to loving her first. Amen? I'm Mr. Fix-It here. Whatever price needs to be paid, I'm willing to pay the price so we can have the marriage that God wants us to have. Y'all with me? And I'm thankful to say I have that in my husband. Amen? And so, if there's no sacrifice, there is no love. Do you really love your wife? What price tag are you paying for her? Would she be able to tell me what that is that you're paying? Would you be able to tell me what price tag you're paying? Because Jesus loved the church, and it took him to the grave. And until you've paid that ultimate price, there's no being excused from the command of love. So you just need to keep going to Jesus. Keep going to Jesus. Keep getting full of the word. Keep speaking love over your wife. And don't give up on her. Because every time you sow seeds of love, it's going to come back. But are you sowing love? Amen? That's why we need to encourage each other. See, that's why when you go to the altar to get married, the preacher makes you do a commitment first. He says, do you promise to love her in sickness and in health? Do you promise to love her for good or for bad, till death do you part? We need to make that commitment first. Amen? Because the preacher knows something. He knows you didn't see everything. You don't know everything. Amen. You know, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Us wives ought to have that in our husbands. We ought to have that same knowing that my husband isn't going to leave me or forsake me. He's going to be there for me. We need that. So when God says, no matter how we act as his child, we're still his child. Well, no matter how we act, we are still your wife. Amen? And so we need that in our husbands. Let's look at Ephesians 5:26, please. See, he gave himself up for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own life, but his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Amen? So you're to take care of your wife as if it was your very own flesh. Nourish it. Take care of it as if it was you. See, the problem with some men when you married your wife is you married her history. You didn't know all there was to know about her. The good part you get to enjoy, but the bad part, you'll find out after the honeymoon. There was a man, and he went to the opera, and he heard this beautiful woman sing, and he was overwhelmed with her beauty and her voice. He said, wow, I have got to meet her. And so he finally got an introduction to her. And then he took her out to dinner, and he was just swept off his feet. And they had a whirlwind romance. He got her to the altar as quick as he could. He married her, and then they went to the honeymoon. So as they began to get ready for their first night together, he looks, and he was shocked. He was shocked. First, she takes out her false teeth. Then she takes off her wig. She's bald. Then she takes off her glass eye. And then she takes off her leg. And he said, sing, woman, sing. See, you don't get to see all that before you get married. You don't see the fake eyelashes that you thought you were real. You don't get to see, you know, for instance, you know, you're tricked, really. You feel tricked sometimes. But see, it goes both ways. We show our best side until we get married. You know, a husband will say, well, I didn't know you fussed like that. You weren't fussing when we dated. Isn't that right? You know, you didn't whine and scream like that when we were dating. So we find out some stuff. Do we give up? Do we throw them away? Do we walk away? No. We made a commitment, and God gives us the power to turn it into something beautiful and enjoyable. You know, and so you're kind of like our sanctifier with your love. What is sanctified? It's set apart. It's made special for special use. And so when you pour out your love, you're setting her apart for your own special use. Here's another way of looking at it. When she shows you her problems, you pour out your love. You become Mr. Fix-It. Amen? You don't throw something away just because it has a problem. You fix it. You know? Too many times, they think of the marriage as just the beginning, as just the end of a relationship. That's it. We're married. That's it. No, it's just the beginning, and it's a process of becoming one flesh. Amen? Here's an example. If you have a sink, and it clogs up. It's full of junk. It's full of junk. It's clogged up. And what happens? It begins to back up because of all the junk. And it backs up. And so you don't say, well, I'm not going to have nothing to do with you, sink, forget you, and walk away. No, you call in the professional. You get it fixed, right? And what does the plumber do? He gets that, whatever that thingamajig is, whatever, and then you start working at it, working at it. Just like with your wife, you keep pouring that love, putting, giving her that patience, that gentleness, that kindness, and you're working it until finally you get an opening and a little bit of the water starts flowing out. You keep working on it and working on it until finally that all that junk flows out. That's what you're doing. You're loving her until all that junk from her past disappears. You don't walk away. You just put more love. You follow the example of Jesus. That's how a husband is to love his wife. That's the role of the husband as far as love in the home. Amen? And so when you're feeling under pressure, bring on the love. When she's showing you her worst side, you show her your best side. Amen? Until that love flows back to you. You're her sanctifier. Amen? You learn something. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that according to your instructions, Lord, we'll be blessed. We have the right to a blessed, happy family, Lord, a blessed, happy marriage. We can set the example. We can shine for the darkness, Lord. And I thank you that you empower our husbands to be everything we need them to be. And I thank you, Lord, that as we learn about the healthy Christian family, you're going to empower each one of us to do our part so that we can have a blessed family and a blessed marriage. And if there's any of you that are listening to this and you need Jesus, you need salvation, you're not sure if you should die tonight, not that you would, but if you did, you wouldn't know where to go. All you have to do is come to Jesus. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you to pay for your sins, to pay for your mistakes, to pay for the mess up, and he didn't stay dead, he rose up and he presented himself before God on your behalf. If you believe that in your heart and confess that, if you with your mouth, you will be saved. Just pray to Jesus. Jesus, please be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me all that you want me to be. If you prayed that prayer, or if you need prayer, you can contact us on Facebook, Voice of Believers Church. We have a website, voiceofbelieverschurch.org. We would love to hear from you. And so, Lord, I release us full of your word, full of instructions, full of your spirit, Lord. I thank you that we are in the blessing because you took the curse for us. I thank you that because of the blessing, we're the head, not beneath. We're above and going over. We're not going under, we're going over. I thank you we're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Our minds are blessed, our bodies are blessed, our cities are blessed, our children are blessed. No weapon formed against us will prosper. If an enemy comes after us one way, he has to flee seven different ways. I thank you, Lord, you gave us a long life. I thank you, Lord, that sickness and disease can't come near our bodies because you promised us that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. No one weapon will be formed against us, and you've caused us to be prosperous in everything we put our hand to. And we go out of here full of your word, full of your spirit, looking to make a difference to all those around us, to be the light in the darkness. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. Amen. Anyone needs prayer, come forward. We'll pray with you in agreement.